Well, as you're able, stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. It's Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 33. It is the very mind of God in print, His infallible, inerrant Word. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this understanding is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. And thus ends our reading this morning. It's easy to look back at the early church or even periods in history and see where the church was thriving and say, wouldn't that have been great? Wouldn't that have been nice to have been a part of a church like that? And all these things we look at. Actually, and I even look at different times and say, those were really the golden years. A lot of times distance will actually put a shine on things maybe that wouldn't naturally be there. The church, as has been said before, she's the bride of Christ, and she's not very pretty. She's an ugly bride, in fact. And you go back and you look at some of our heroes, we look back and church fathers and various ones, and we look at Calvin. We say Calvin's Geneva, Well, Calvin's Geneva was very unruly. John Knox, father of Presbyterianism, and John Knox leaders burned out. John Owen, great Puritan and great writer, preacher, and pastor. And he was always preaching against the lethargy, not always, but often preaching against lethargy in the church and ignorance in the church. Jonathan Edwards, himself, Jonathan Edwards was kicked out of his own pulpit. We sing, and we're actually going to sing this in a moment, actually as part of the sermon. But the church shall never perish, her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her to the end, though there be those who hate her and false sons in her pale. Against her foe or traitor, she ever shall prevail. It always has been, and it's going to be this way until Jesus comes again. Within the church, there's always going to be sin. There'll be murmuring. There'll be complaining. There'll be mean-spirited people. They're going to be hypocrites. There's going to be liars. We're all guilty. We know that we sin. It's been that way. Always will be. From without, when we continue to proclaim exclusivity, when we say there's one way, that there's one Lord, there's one Messiah, there's only one mediator between God and man and such. And we're seeing it even in our day. We would never say that there's not been the rejection of Christianity throughout all the ages. But certainly we begin even more and more to feel the heat ourselves when we as a church, again, maybe visitors don't know this, but we in the last weeks have been holding up four. That's been part of our mantra, for lack of a better word, 4:12, Acts 4:12. We remember these football teams that hold up four at the last quarter, and it's like, here we go. This is it. It's one more. Let's get our act together. And that's 4:12 is like that for the Christian, that there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. When we take that stand, there will increase persecution, mockery. It may come in the form of being made fun of. Surely you don't believe that. You know, that kind of talk. Derision, sarcasm, perhaps even suffering. But there's going to be a kickback when you claim that there's only one way. You know, Jesus himself said, in essence, the church would be built through blood and sweat and tears. But the church would look more like a war zone, perhaps, than anything else. In fact, Jesus would say, in essence, again, give your life to me, and you are going to suffer. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. John 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Matthew 16 again, verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.